Welcome to everybody that's watching online this morning. We have people watch us from all over the world. We had our Lockhart campus join us via video earlier. And so today we're starting a brand new series called Mixtape. And I've got one right here. There's one on the screen, but have you ever seen one of these before? Some of you college students, I know we got a lot of Texas State students, y'all probably never seen one of these. If you use it, you're trying like, how do you get this thing to, how do you pick the song on it? I don't understand how you use this thing. This is called a cassette tape. Yeah. That's how we rolled in the 80s, the 90s. There were no computers. There were no iPads. All we had was Etch-a-Sketch. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Etch-a-Sketch, two knobs. You touch the screen, nothing would happen. But if you learn how to manipulate the two knobs, you could get that thing to draw pictures. I remember spending hours drawing a mountain scene, sunrise, and all this pine trees everywhere. And the thing with the Etch-a-Sketch is you had to guard it with your life. Because if anybody ever accidentally bumped it or whatever, it would erase all of your hard work and effort. So that's what I remember. I don't think of myself as old, you know. I'm 41 now, but the more I raise my kids, I've got a 15, a 13, an 11-year-old, and I feel old now. The more gray hair I have, and so I just get nostalgia. I think about cassette tapes and you know, what life was like back in the old days. When I was in school, we didn't have computers. Like I said, these days you have computers on your phone. I mean, you have them everywhere. Back then, it was later in my school when computers showed up. And it wasn't in every room. It was in a secret lab, the computer lab that you would go to. And the monitors were like this big, this tall, black screen with green text on it. That's all there was. There was no pictures. There was no video. There was no sound except for, that was it. That's all the sound that it had. We'd spend the whole period in there entering code in MS-DOS code. How many of y'all remember MS-DOS? Yeah. Equal, colon, slash, prompt, command, all these different things. And every few weeks, your class got to go to the computer lab and enter in this code. It was so exciting to go enter code into the computer, because if you entered it just right, after about 30 minutes of entering it all in there and hit run, click, then a heart or something would just kind of float up above a heart out of like colons and dashes would rise up. But if you got one thing wrong, you'd hit run and error. And then you have to go through the whole thing. Try to figure it out. Then Oregon Trail came out. Yeah. Oregon Trail was awesome. Had color. Had some graphics on it. You try to go from the East Coast to Oregon with all these challenges, all these decisions that you have to make. And along the way, you would have to, you know, an axle would break on the wagon. You'd have to trade a bag of flour to the other wagon in order to get a new axle. Your 8-year-old would get dysentery at the Missouri River, and you'd have to decide if you're going to let him stay with the Indian tribe and have the natural route and all that kind of stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Did anybody ever get to Oregon? I want to know right now. Lacey, you didn't get there. Seriously? The thing was, you would work all period and get to Colorado and the period would end and you couldn't save it. You have to just start all over the next week. So why am I calling this sermon series Mixtape? This is a mixtape. This is a blank cassette. I got this from Irene Holyfield because I couldn't find one. I said, hey, does anybody have a cassette tape? She found one. She said, please don't listen to it. I can't remember what's on that tape. So it would be so awesome if we had a player right now. We could just figure out what Irene was into back in 87. Anyway, we would take one of these tapes, put it in the jam box on the record side, the little red button, and wait for the song to come on. And then as soon as the DJ stopped talking, you hit record, right? Wait till that whole song would record. And then right before, you'd wait as long as you could before you knew that DJ was about to come back on. You'd wait for it, stop. And then you had a song recorded on a tape. That was just one song in real time. You couldn't fast forward. You couldn't skip. And then you would wait for the next song. And I'm not just talking about the next song that came on the radio. I'm talking about the next song, like in the theme of the mixtape. Because each mixtape had a different theme, depending on who you were giving the mixtape to. Just like a playlist in these days and times. You make a Spotify playlist, you make an iTunes playlist. Y'all are so spoiled. You just sit there, I'll take that one and that one and that one and that one. And in 5 minutes, you've got this thing done. That's not how it was back in the day. You had a tape. You're going to make it for your girlfriend. I'm just speaking hypothetically here. And if you really were in love, you get the 90-minute or the 120-minute dedication, hard work, time, and effort waiting for that specific tape to be recorded. And then when it was all done, you get the label, put it on there, write their name, hearts, and everything. And this was like the slow jam mixtape. I just called to say. Yeah. This is us, baby. This is us right here. Song 3 is our song. Had to wait till the third song. Kind of build up to it. This is us. Now if we break up, I want it back. Because I want to use it, right? I want to use it again. It takes time. Took effort. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because the Bible actually has a mix for your relationships. It has a flow, a rhythm, a tempo that is teaching us to live life like. And so the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about and making a mixtape from Scripture that's going to help you in your relationships, your dating, your marriage, courtship. And I'm thankful that everybody's in here. This is not just about for married people. This is for people that are young, you know, junior high and high school, college students. Learn this stuff before you get in a mess. Yes. All of you that got in a mess before should have amen me right there. Come on. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Learn this stuff before you get in a mess. Before your heart is just sold out to whoever. Let's get the Bible's truth in our life, in our mind, in our thinking, in our lifestyle. What the Bible does is give us a path. It gives us guardrails. It gives us boundaries that are healthy and strong. It gives us, and we're using this mixtape analogy because it really is a flow. It is a rhythm. It's a tempo that the Bible lays out so that we will be protected and that we'll be blessed by living God's way. So I want you to take out notes. You should have been given some handwritten note paper there. With some blanks on it. If you didn't get one, please raise your hand. Some of our ushers will bring some down to you now. There should be pens in the seat back in front of you. And I want you to take notes today. Today's probably the most sensitive of the messages. And this is going to spur on some conversation this week. Please, if you need one, raise your hand. We'll get some to you, I think. I don't see an usher. We're out. Wow, that's awesome. Y'all just take notes on your hand or on a tablet or Etch-a-Sketch or something. This is important stuff. Today we're going to take a very specific topic that we all deal with, and it is our romantic relationships. Woo! Aren't you glad you came to church today? Kids, you're going to have some great questions for your parents, those of you that didn't go to children's ministry today. Yeah. We warned you last week. Now here it is. great conversation. Paul, the greatest teacher to follow Jesus, who almost the entire New Testament was written by Paul, teaches very clear and distinct lessons on intimacy, dating, sexual relationships, marriages, husband and wife. He gives some clear instructions in a letter that he wrote to the church in Corinth. Now, the church in Corinth must have been pretty messed up because he wrote all kind of stuff to them. They had a messed up church. I mean, he was giving them instructions on how to have a church service, what to do, what not to do. He was giving them instructions on life in general, prayer, faith, praying, financially giving. He gave them instructions on their relationships. In chapter 6 and 7 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6 and 7, he gave them detailed information. And we don't have time today to go through the entire two chapters. But I want to encourage you to read both chapters this week. Homework, right there. Write that down. Read chapters 6 and 7 of 1 Corinthians. It's written on top of that piece of paper. Circle it, underline it, highlight it, write it somewhere. 1 Corinthians 6 and 7, read it with your household. Read it with your kids. Read it with your spouse. Read it with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Yeah, read it. Whoever's there, the dog, cat, whoever's in the house with you, read it. It's important. Allow Q&A at the end of it. Today what we're going to do is we're going to take the greatest hits. Five powerful truths that come out of 1 Corinthians 6 and 7. And each one of these, I've got a song for it. Are y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for song number one? Okay, hit it, guys. Hit the song. Oh, yeah. It's a curious thing. Power of love. The power of love is a curious thing. Makes one man weep, makes another man sing. Change a hawk to a little white dove. More than a feeling, that's the power of love. Back to the Future movie reference right there. The power of love. Now, Huey Lewis, the singer, was not talking about love from the Bible, what we would know as love from Scripture. But he is talking about something that is very true and very real. He just calls it the power of love. Let me just give a disclaimer as we go through this sermon series that I'm not ordaining and claiming that all the lyrics of these songs are biblical, and that's not what I'm doing. Don't go back and listen to these and send me an email, okay? The power of love, he's talking about something that exists in Paul as he's teaching. Throughout 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 talks about this innate passion that each one of us have for someone else. That's the power. And so really what Huey Lewis is talking about here is the power of infatuation and physical attraction. So this is the first blanks, those of you that have notes. We all have to deal with infatuation and physical attraction. God designed us. Genesis 1 and 2 tell us that God designed human beings. He created us, male and female, and the Bible says that it was very good. He also told male and female to go procreate or go have kids. You know what? God is so amazing. He's smart. God knows all things, right? He knows if they're going to populate the earth, I'm not talking about just having one kid, but if human beings are going to populate the earth, we got to make this interesting. Right? We got to make this passionate. We got to make this exciting. We got to get them interested in this process. So God designed us with this passion inside of us. Inside of us is a drive. It is a passion for another human. It's a physical attraction. That's what Huey Lewis is talking about, the power of love. Makes one man weep, makes another man sing. It's just like you never know. And part of it is because our hormones are so different. And depending on if you're a man or if you're a woman, if you're young or you're old, hormone levels are all different depending on people and their times of life. And so for some people, hormone levels are just like off the charts. And this passion, and you're just Cupid. You are just in love, right? And for other people, the flame is barely flickering. The flame has gone out. But everybody at some point has to deal with this truth. And Paul doesn't give us one particular passage to talk about it. But as we go through it today, you're going to see this truth coming forth over and over and over. We all have to deal with infatuation and physical attraction. And let me just tell you the good news. It's not of the devil. It's of God. It's a good thing. It's a great thing that for some people can become the main thing. And whenever it becomes the main thing, it takes the place of God. And so then this sexual attraction or this passion for other people can then become a stumbling block because you've allowed it to control you. Secular culture tells us that we cannot control our sexual passion and our desire for other people. It tells us that there's no way to stop it, so you just have to protect yourself. That's what secularism teaches us. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us it's a great thing. It was given by God. And when we submit our life to Him, He helps us. He empowers us. He strengthens us. And so that leads us to our next track on the mixtape. Are y'all ready? Hit it right now. Hit it. That's right. Oh man, that's a jam right there. What movie? That's right. The Danger Zone. Paul tells us in Corinthians 6 that there is a danger zone out there that you better be careful. He says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. You're sinning against God, you're sinning against other people, but you're also sinning against yourself, because yourself, your body was designed for God and His plan and His way. So the danger zone is any place, activity, person, relationship that you have that tempts you to step outside of God's plan and into your own plan. That's the danger zone. Now, everybody's danger zone is different. So you need to really, this is a homework assignment, another homework assignment. Think about the places, the people, the things, the activity that is a danger zone for you. We're all different in this. And again, it depends on your place in life and where you are, where you've been. Some of y'all can go into a certain situation and not be tempted at all. Other people, you wake up. That's basically all it takes. You live in the danger zone. So he says, do everything you can to get away from the danger zone. Paul said, run. Another translation says, flee. If you're fleeing, that means somebody's attacking you or chasing you. So the evil one, the devil, has come to steal, kill, and destroy your satisfaction and your pleasure life. He's come to contaminate your drive, your physical attraction to other people. The devil is wanting to distract you and to make you chase after something that's an imitation. So he's pursuing you. The devil is. And so Paul says, know that it exists. Know that there's a passion inside of you, and know that there's a contaminated version, a cheap imitation of what God originally created for you. So run, flee. Another translation says flee youthful lusts. But let me tell you something, you don't have to be youthful to have problems, right? That's right, whether you agree with me or not. You can be old and have problems, right? Temptations that come our way. All right, so that brings us to the next track, which Paul takes us to a whole nother level right here on track 3. Check it out. Stop in the name of love before you Supremes, right? Now, we went back a few decades on that one, didn't we? Some of y'all remember that from high school. Yeah, Supremes. Paul takes this to a whole nother level when he says, stop. Don't just run. Don't just flee youthful lust, but just stop. And this goes totally against culture today. Culture says you can't stop. So just enjoy it, protect yourself, or whatever. This goes totally against movies we watch, TV we watch, books we read, people at school, friends at work, all that kind of stuff, where they say that it's impossible to do this. But this is what the Word of God, this is the truth of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 7:1, it is good to abstain from sexual relations. Some of you didn't know that was possible. It is. It's possible to abstain. First of all, it's possible to abstain, but Paul says it's actually good to do that. It's good to abstain. 1 Corinthians 7:7, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. Now, what does modern day culture tell you? Modern day culture tells you if you're single, there's something wrong with you. You're not accepted. You're damaged goods. You've done something wrong. No one likes you. You'll never amount to anything. You're not spouse quality and all that kind of stuff. But look at what the Word of God says. In fact, all the single ladies out there, all the single men out there, listen to what the Word of God is telling you today. Each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it is better to stay unmarried just as I am. He goes on in 7 verse 32. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him, please God. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. That's hard to do, isn't it, men? Can I get an amen? Men that are not afraid to amen me on that one. It's hard to please your wife, isn't it? It's difficult. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. So it goes both ways. Trying to please a husband, trying to please a wife is very, very difficult. The Bible is so practical and real. It's so practical. We think sometimes, again, this is another myth of our modern culture, that marriage is a magic wand. That if you have problems in your dating relationship, then you just need to commit and get married. And if you just commit and get married, then he will change or then she will change. Wrong! Married people know what I'm talking about. Yes. I want y'all to be liberated to amen me, you know, and just don't be afraid. Just amen me at any given moment. It's hard to please another human being. It's very difficult to be living with another human for the rest of your life. And so that's why people outside of God say that it's the old ball and chain, because you're attached to another person without God's influence. That's like being in prison, really. Being married without God is so difficult. So he says, I'm saying this for your benefit, that abstaining, this is really, this is God's word to us, that abstaining from sex is possible. We can actually abstain from sex altogether, to be one, to be connected to God, to have our focus on him. And so this is what he's saying. I'm not telling you that this is a restriction or a law. He says, I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. So this is one of the few places in the Bible where the writer is actually telling us, here's some advice and here are the rules. We'll see that as we go through, that some places Paul is telling us, this is God's word, this is God's way, this is God's guidelines, this is the way he wants you to walk. And then here's a way that's best for you. This is the advice I want to give you. Or I'm having to have a concession here and say that you can do this. But here is, I wish we could spend more time on this, but this is what is so opposed to where we are in our modern day societies, that we feel like we have no control over this passion, over this life. And so we feel like we're trapped, and that the only way that we'll have freedom or happiness is to find the right person, to find a soulmate. And this is what Scripture's saying. No, it's not. You're not going to find your freedom by finding the perfect person over there, the perfect person over there. The freedom comes, here's what he's saying in 7:32, the freedom, he wants you to be free from the concerns of life. Your freedom comes from Jesus. That's where our freedom comes from, not from being fulfilled in another human being. Our freedom comes from God. It comes from his power and his strength. But this is not the last track on the mixtape. We got another track coming up right now. Hit it. Hey, I can listen to that song all day. I love that song, Stevie Wonder. Sign, sealed, deliver. Here is another path for those people. This is what Paul says. Here's another path for those people that just can't control themselves. That innate passion, that drive, and all that kind of stuff. Here's another path that God has. 1 Corinthians 7:9. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It is better to marry than to burn with lust. That's that passion, that drive. It's what he's talking about. It's in there. It's in there. And if you don't have the faith to trust God for your fulfillment, then God does provide a way for you. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians 7:2. But because there's so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. So God has created marriage for one man and for one woman. That is the truth from God's word. He created it. God created marriage. It's not an accident. Marriage is not something that evolved from humanity. Marriage is something that has been created by God from the very beginning. He wants us to have that possibility. And here is where Scripture gets exciting. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this scripture? Put on your seatbelt. Get ready. We're fixing to go on a scriptural roller coaster. 1 Corinthians 7:3. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so that you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Other translations say prayer and fasting. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. All right, This is probably one of the most difficult scriptures for a pastor to read in front of the whole church. But I want you to know the truth. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about subjects that people don't want to talk about. Because here's the deal. People are talking about them all in the wrong context. Kids are hearing about them in school in all the wrong context. So let's talk about God's word and God's way. And if you have kids in here, kids, and you're like, there's no way I'm talking to my parents about this. You need to find a way to have a safe place, a safe environment in your home to have these kind of discussions and talk about this. This is very important. This scripture right here is one of the most powerful marriage texts besides just the sexual part of it. You just take the principle of a wife's body is her husband's and the husband's body is his wife's. This is a sign of total submission and surrender to one another. transparency and openness. When we talk about transparency and openness, that is spiritual nakedness and spiritual transparency. In other words, what Paul is laying out here for biblical marriage, for a biblical marriage to be healthy, a man is connected to God and is whole in God, and a woman is connected to God and whole in her. And then they come together and they are no longer the sole stewards of their life. Instead, in marriage, this person becomes the steward of this person, and this person becomes the steward every part. So that means there's no secrets. There's no, this is my money and this is her money. There's no, this is my car and this is her car. And every time I get into marriage counseling with people and they start talking about that stuff, I just think, this is not the biblical way. The biblical way is we are totally transparent with one another. This is what God is wanting. This is what God is asking. Our marriage to one another mimics our relationship with God. That we're so transparent with God, and He's loving of us, and He takes on our sin, and we take on His life, everlasting life. That's what the gospel is all about. That's the marriage between us and God. Total transparency, total surrender, total submission to God. And so He gives us His life, and we trade Him for our junk. And He forgives us, and He saves us, and that's our connection to God. But then when it comes to another human being, marriage is a mirror of that same surrender. What I have is yours, and what you have is mine. Where this is transparency, this is openness. And this happens in courtship when we begin to court one another, and we're specifically looking for a spouse and not just dating for recreational purposes, which is nowhere in the Bible anyway. Courtship, we're looking for a spouse and we're seeking out who God is going to lead us to, and then we start having these conversations and start opening up and being transparent in the courting relationship, and this is my life and this is my life, and there starts to be a spiritual and a life nakedness before there's ever physical nakedness. Physical nakedness comes after the marriage ceremony and is the culmination of this transparency. Our culture has it flip-flopped. Our culture says, let's get physically naked first and then work out the details later. That's not God's plan, and that's a recipe for disaster. Woo! Aren't you glad you came to church on today? Yes. Yes. We have one more track. That is the best track of the day, is the best news of the day. Hit the last track. Come on, hit it.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Lacey, come dance for us.
You can't touch this.
Oh, man. This is what God is saying to everybody. You struggle with some of these things that I've been talking about, what God's word says. If there's one of these, you're like, that's impossible. There's no way. I don't agree with that. No, there's no way. What you don't understand is the goodness of God. And what God is saying is, you can't touch this, what I've got for you. You've been looking for love in all the wrong places. You've been looking for love everywhere else. But if you would look to me, you can't touch this love. You can't touch the satisfaction that I will give you. You can't touch the completion of what I can give to you. God totally fulfills us. God totally fulfills us. 1 Corinthians 6:13, but you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. You can't say that. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Now listen to this. We've been given this innate drive in us, and a lot of it has to do with the hormones that we have, and how many know that sin has come in to destroy our life, and it affects our physical bodies. And so because of the devil's work, our hormone levels, our different, I don't know all the different hormones, but I know that there's testosterone and there's the estrogen and there's adrenaline and all the different physiological things that are going on in our life. And for some people would say, I'm just quite possibly a broken person because I have this addiction or because I have no drive whatsoever. And this is what's so beautiful about what texts say, is that the Lord cares about your body. So even the people that say, I'm out of control, or the flame went out a long time ago, and you're struggling and dealing with those things, the Bible says that God is so powerful, you can't touch this, God is so powerful that he will raise your physical body from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. Don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he has become one body with her? For the scriptures say these two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's awesome news. Now, let's talk about that just for a second. He says, you know, don't hook up with a prostitute, which I think most people in here would be like, that yeah, I agree with that. I don't have a problem with prostitution right now. But Jesus went on to say, he expounded this concept and he said, you know, if you even look at another woman or man in a lustful way, you've already committed adultery with them in your heart. So there's sexual sin that's not just the physical act with a prostitute, but if there's lust that you have by looking at something online or, you know, getting in those danger zones, whether that's Instagram or that's Facebook or that's the internet or that's at work, when there's that relationship with a coworker that you know has kind of gone over the line and you're still kind of in that. What the scripture is saying is that you are hitching up to the wrong place. You're in the danger zone. But God has a fulfillment for us. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Yeah. That this is actually a way to worship God by the way we live our romantic life. To honor God with our body. The very first scripture I read said that sexual immorality was a sin against your own body. And then the very last scripture, we see why he's talking about that. Because our body was created by God to worship God. So when we contaminate our body with sexual immorality, our body is unable to freely worship God. So it's a sin against our body. And I hope this brings freedom to some people in here today, that you don't have to be bound by this. You don't have to be addicted to this. This doesn't have to be something that you carry in privacy because you're afraid to tell people. Promising is a safe place. We're going to know and admit and talk about things that we deal with and we struggle with. So if you're struggling in one of these areas, I mean, there's people all over the map here. Find someone in this community. We talk about small groups all the time. Small groups are a great place to find somebody you can talk to about this type of issue. You can come up here and talk to one of our pastors. We'd love to talk to you about trusting God in this area. We have a professional counselor here that meets with folks on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, if you'd like to meet professional counselor as well. Would you bow your heads and pray with me right now? We're going to go to the one who has all the answers. We're going to go to the one who is the answer. Jesus Christ. We're going to pray right now. We're going to talk to God. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit into our life. Some of you are listening to my voice today, my message, and you know that there's some things in your life that are not right. There's a lifestyle you're living that is real and it's there, exists, and you don't feel like you have the power to change it. You feel like that's who you are, that's where you are, that's the culture that you live in. It's just the way people are in college, it's the way people are in high school, it's the way people are where I work. And this message is going against the grain. Some of you know there's things that you're participating in that you wouldn't tell other people about. Today's the day of salvation for you. Today's the day that God welcomes you with open arms to forgive you and put you on a new path. To some of you, you're in a new stage of life right now. This is a brand new stage for you. You don't know what to do. You're struggling. You're trying to figure out, how can I make it? How can I do this? God has come here today to tell you that He's going to give you the power to live. He's going to give you the strength, not just to barely make it, but to have abundant life. That in Him, you're going to become new. You're going to become His. You're going to be complete in Him. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's just ask God to come in right now. And first of all, let's ask Him to forgive us. Let's just repent before God. Lord, we repent of our sins right now. Anything that we are doing, God, that's not of You. Anything that we're doing that's not of You, Lord, please forgive us. And if you want, you can spend a second or two just going into detail in your mind out loud. It doesn't matter. Let's just go to God right now and ask Him to forgive us of our sin. Lord, please forgive us of our sin. Please cleanse us of all the things that have been wrong and an error. God, we know that You want us to live a life of purity. We know that You have a life that is strong, that is not compromised, that's not a shortcut. Lord, we know You want to give us the strength to live with authority and power. In Jesus' name, we submit our life to You. If you're sitting with your spouse, why don't you take them by the hand right now? And let's just pray together in marriages right now. Let's just pray that God's will be done in our marriages. Let's pray that prayer of submission and humility. In the name of Jesus, I pray for men and women all across this building, those watching online today, their marriages, that they've been living a life of independence and selfishness and self-centeredness instead of one of selflessness and humility, trying to fight and prove their way and defend their name and all that. God, I pray for all the marriages that we would be fully transparent and begin a new season of life, that we wouldn't have secrets and things that we compartmentalize away from our spouse, but instead, Lord, we have that full transparency and submission to one another, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pray for all my single brothers and sisters right now, junior high school, college students, young adults. We got widows and widowers in here today trying to figure out what's next. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that You will guide all of our single adults in here, that You will strengthen them, that You will encourage them, that You'll provide for them, that they won't be seeking out man's approval or woman's approval to give them an identity or a future, God, but instead they will fully trust in You, and in that they will find their satisfaction and fulfillment. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands right now for God and thank Him for what He's doing. Yeah.